All right, grab a seat, everyone. We are continuing our series on Crazy in Love, talking about relationships, particularly relationships between a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, in a sense, a teenager, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. We're talking about relationships. And particularly this morning, I want to really hone in on how you tell the person the truth, how you tell them what you need to tell them. Because there comes a point in time in any relationship, but particularly in boy-girl relationships, where you need to tell them the truth. I was at a young adult service one night, and we talked a lot about relationships and about genders and what you do and how you operate with each other and what sort of things happen within relationships. And it was really quite intense. And then we had a Q&A afterwards. And I'm sitting there saying, was this a good idea to have a question and answer? The first hand goes up, and it's a teenage boy at the back of the crowd, and he puts his hand up, and he utters these very courageous words, I thought, in front of a room of people that knew him. And his question was, how do you know if a girl likes you? How do you know if a girl likes you? And you could hear the audience, the people in the room going, oh, how are we going to deal with this question? And I talked about a few different things and, you know, tried to think back 20 years ago to my teenage years and my youth and understanding, trying to work out, how do you know? Is it because they like your Instagram post these days? Is that how you know? Is it that they follow you or they express something to you? Is it that they give you a gift? I think that's a big one, actually. If you find someone giving you gifts, it's probably an indication that they like you, that they want to be part of your life. And it's all different these days. Who knows how you know if someone likes you? The second hand goes up shortly after the first one. And this time it's a teenage girl that asked the question. And her question was this: how do you tell a boy that you don't like him? And I'm like, I don't know how you tell a boy that you don't like him, but at some point you got to tell him. That's SMS, send him a message. Unlike them on Instagram or Facebook, stop following them, maybe even block them. Who knows how you tell, but at some point or other, who's with me? Who's had to do that in their life many times? Yeah, hands up, I can see lots of hands over the congregation. You've had to tell someone the truth. Truth is, I don't like you. And that's like the formation years, and you go on in life and other things sort of happen, but at some point you've actually got to turn to that person and you've got to tell them the truth. And telling someone the truth can be really difficult. Why? Because it can be hurtful. None of us actually want to hurt someone else, do we? But at some point, you've got to tell the person the truth about how you feel and about what's going on inside them and how you do that. The book of Ephesians, Paul writes, speak the truth in love. And that's what we're talking about this morning, speaking the truth in love. And later on, Jess is going to come up and we're going to talk about how we understand children and young adults and how we speak the truth in love into their lives. So it's coming up. But there's a great piece of scripture that I want to reference this morning. And we're going to stick it up on the screen. From John chapter 4. Jesus has a moment where he is going to speak the truth in love. Before we read the scripture, we can read it in a minute. I just want to give you some context around it. Paul writes in Corinthians about spiritual gifting. And he talks about encouragement. He talks about preaching and prophesying and speaking in tongues and all other types of spiritual gifting. One of the giftings that he lists there is the gift of celibacy. The gift of celibacy is a supernatural spiritual ability in order that you do not need or feel the deep desire that most of us have to be with someone else of the opposite gender. All of us actually have a God-given desire. God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for women to be alone as well, but fellas, I think you know what I'm saying. It's not good for men to be alone. We need a woman in our lives, and women, I think we need a man in our lives. We all need love. We need a significant person that we share our lives with. We need someone that observes us. We need someone that when we're sick, they actually care. We need someone that when we're depressed, they'll cheer us up. We need someone that is a presence in our lives. We all need someone that is our special someone. God's made us that way. But Paul writes in Corinthians about this gift of celibacy. And I think that Jesus had this gift, the ability to be able to live his life without getting married, having to get married, wanting to have children, all those sort of things. Doesn't mean it, this is a very interesting theological thought. Let's not spend too much time here. But would it have been wrong if he got married? Is it wrong to get married? Oh, of course it's not wrong to get married. Is it wrong to have children and to live your life? No, of course it's not. All those things are actually good and great. But Jesus had a mission, 33 years on earth, 3 years in ministry. The Bible says at one point that he turns his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. He was going to the cross. He was going to his death. That was what he actually came to save the world. Reality was it wouldn't have been responsible for him to have a wife and all the issues and responsibilities and accountabilities that come about through marriage. But of course, he finds himself here in this piece of scripture talking to a woman. And he needs to tell us some truths. She actually needs to hear some things. But these things are in isolation. What he says in isolation could have actually been really quite confrontational, quite hurtful. And I don't even know if she would have been able to hear them. So in this piece of scripture, in this story, he gives us a great example, a great illustration of how we can speak the truth into each other's lives. Jesus had to go through Samaria on his way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." So it's hot, it's the middle of the day, he's alone. No one came to the well normally during the heat of the day. The only people that came to the well during the heat of the day, during the noon, were people that were despised by the other people because no one else was there. This woman comes to the well perhaps because she's an outsider, perhaps because she doesn't find acceptance in her own community. And Jesus finds himself at the well, and he is tired, and he's hot, and he needs a drink. And so he asks the woman for a drink. Something that is super interesting about this, that he asks her for a drink. If you're like the sort of person that loves giving gifts, who loves, you know, let's have some participation, who loves giving gifts? Who loves thinking about the person and finding something that they really like and giving to them? There are a lot of people in our church that are like that. My wife is like that. Tracy Howes, if ever she gives you a gift, she has thought about you very specifically and she has given you something that you really like. She thinks about you. I hazard to say this about Tracy, who's probably the nicest person in the world. She, is she here this morning? Oh, she is. Hey, Trace. She gets a lot of joy and a lot of pleasure out of finding the right gift and giving it. In fact, it's perhaps even a spiritual gift. And what I want to say about that is when you give something to someone, you're actually giving them, you are experiencing right there in that moment a lot of love. You may even be experiencing more love in that moment giving something to someone than what they actually get back from you. When Jesus asked the Samaritan woman to serve him, he's actually giving her an opportunity to be really blessed and to experience the love that comes from giving. And not only that, most of us will know that a Samaritan woman was the outcast. She was the person that was rejected. Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He had prestige. He had people following him. For him to ask her of that meant that he was saying, "I accept you. Your hands are going to touch whatever it is that you're giving me the water in. You're going to give it to me and I'm going to accept it from you." You see, he's going to give her some truth, but before he gives her some truth, he needs to show her that he accepts her, that he loves her, even though other people haven't. as you go into a situation where you need to tell someone the truth, they need to know what you feel and what you think about them, that you accept them, that you love them, even that you're willing to let them serve you. There needs to be a sense where as you come into that meeting and as you come into that time where you need to share that truth, they need to know that you're on their side. Jesus does something quite extraordinary, and the people reading this in the original context in the original day would have understood so much that him speaking to this Samaritan woman was actually quite shocking. But he's doing something. He's demonstrating something to her. I accept you. I love you. They were alone at that time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" The story goes on. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you could ask me and I would give you living water." Jesus needs to get to the point. There's something deep about this situation that the woman doesn't understand. She hasn't seen, she hasn't known. The truth is that one of the motivations that we have in speaking the truth into someone's life is that they sometimes can't see what we can see. Well, they can't see what we can see. You know, the hardest things to understand are things about yourself. As you, maybe if you go to counseling or you go sit with someone, they and you say to them, "Why do I do this? What's going on that I do this?" You ever find yourself in a situation where you don't know why you're doing the things or feeling the way that you're feeling? It can be really good to actually get someone to come alongside you and to speak into your life. Someone that you trust, someone that loves you, and they can tell you some stuff about you that you can't even see. The woman goes to the questioner around her background and the fact that she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. That's not the point. The point is something that's deep within her that Jesus sees. She has a deep aching need for something. And Jesus sees it, but she doesn't. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than the ancestors Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than this his sons and his animals enjoy?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks from this water will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. A fresh, bubbling spring, giving them eternal life." Jesus is going to her deepest need. And this is your deepest need too. Your deepest need at this moment is to know Jesus. For some of you here this morning, you're going through life and you don't know why you're here and you don't know what life is about. For some of you here this morning, you haven't yet found your purpose for life. Knowing Jesus is the most important thing you can do. And that living water which brings eternal life, there is no need to fear because you have Jesus. Some of you this morning have discovered that and you know that. And you know what it's like to have joy inside of you, even though everything else is raging around you. This is what that woman needed. The story goes on. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come here to get water." Do you see what's going on? She hasn't yet understood the deep spiritual truth. She's still living on the physical level. She hasn't understood the supernatural thing that Jesus is trying to help her see. "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "Here it comes." "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Can you imagine if Jesus had just come straight out with this at the very start? Can you imagine how it would have been if he'd gone up to this Samaritan woman and he'd said to her, "You're a Samaritan woman, get out of the way, you're unclean. Not only that, you've had 5 husbands and the guy you're with now is not your husband. You're filthy, you're unclean, I don't want anything to do with you." Can you imagine if you'd done that? And yet, isn't it true that sometimes we just want to go straight to the truth? We just want to tell someone? Isn't it true sometimes that we just want to, in our anger, we just want to burst through and just tell someone what they need to hear? Isn't that true that we do that? The other thing I do, perhaps this is something we're more guilty of, is we don't tell the truth. We love someone and we mistake not wanting to hurt them with being loving. That's actually not the truth. This woman actually needed to hear the truth. She needed to hear the truth spoken in love. You've had five husbands and the one you're with now is not your husband. Is that about the immorality of that? No, I don't think it is. I think it's about what had led up to that point. People make those sort of choices because there's something deep going on within. There's a pain. And things have been done to them, particularly back in that society, in that world, where women basically couldn't survive unless they had a man in their life physically. There's probably a whole heap of reasons why she finds herself in that situation and the choices that she made. Sure, she may have made some foolish choices. But Jesus isn't, I don't think he's getting bogged down in any of that. I think he just wants to present to her a better way. But she does need to understand her need. You certainly spoke the truth. You know, for us, maybe even now you're thinking of someone that you need to speak the truth into their life. You need to tell them. You need to share that with them. Sometimes if we don't tell the truth and we just let it sit there and we never deal with it, it doesn't go away. It just sits there and it stews. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is tell someone the truth and speak the truth in love. I'm going to invite Jess Abraham to the stage now. And Jess is our children's worker here at Inglewood. And I think we should give her a hand, everyone. And I've asked Jess just to share with us because we're on the same theme this morning, but perhaps slightly going in a certain more specific direction, just around children and around perhaps young adults. Because how do we actually get to the truth? How do we actually get the truth? How do we understand what is going on in someone's life? I mean, Jesus was supernatural. He had supernatural discernment. And we should absolutely ask God for discernment. But at the same time, how do we practically help our children, help our teenagers, young adults, and other people in our lives? And so I've asked Jess to come along. We'll go back to the first question, Thomas. Just tell us a bit about yourself and some of the stuff that you do, some of the stuff you're involved in. So, in terms of what you do, and you work with a lot of children, how do you know if something is wrong that maybe you need to intervene? How do you know? What do you observe?
Able to speak in love to him and say, you know, this is actually not right, and his perspective of even how to talk to women and all of that sort of thing. Yeah, I think it was quite... she came to him because she loved him, and in that response too.
Can you just talk a bit about, because you mentioned like body language, what do you look for? What are the signs?
Yeah, so I think in the moment, if a child is confiding in you, don't freak out. It's so easy to you know, give them a look or get angry or wave your hands. But I think in the moment, just sit and listen to them. By all means, don't freak out later. You can do that. You can scream into a pillow if you want to later. But in the moment, just listen, and eye contact, I think is important.
So the second question, like what's our motivation to intervene? Is it our role? Should we intervene? Should we let things just follow through and the child just grow up? What's our motivation there? So thirdly, and this is really, like, there is no manual that comes with being a parent. They don't give you a instruction manual when you bring that child home or when that person is growing into a teenager or a young adult. What are the things you should say? How do you know that you're saying the right things? So it's about authenticity. It's about them understanding that we're not perfect and we've made mistakes and probably will continue to do so. In fact, they probably see that just as much as what we do, don't they? Can we thank Jess for sharing with us this morning? We're almost finished today for our service. Thank you so much for being here today. I did want to do something because I think sometimes when we talk about this topic of needing to deal with something or maybe even needed to say the truth to someone, it might stir up something within you. So I'd ask you, like us all, can we just stand in this moment just to ready ourselves? Because I'd like to pray for you, if that's okay. And what I'd like you to do in this moment, if you have someone that you need to talk to about something that is difficult, and perhaps you've been putting it off, but you know you need to say it, do you just want to think of that person right now in your mind? Maybe there's some truth in love you need to say and you haven't been able to find either the right time or the courage to say it. Let's just have an attitude of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Open our arms up. Open our posture up. Because I'd like to pray something for you. Father, we confess to you this morning that there are moments where we have failed to say what needed to be said, perhaps at the opportune time. And Lord, for some of us, there are relationships that have been frayed and there hasn't been truth in that relationship for a long time. So Lord, I ask your Spirit now to look upon the people, the person that we are thinking of. Because they are your creation, they are made in your image, they are a child of God. And we want to be able to have a relationship with them that is truthful and that is honest. Lord, that's what we're asking for. So right now, this morning, in this moment, we ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that will give us the motivation and the energy to actually do something about this. Spirit of God, challenge us now. We ask you to do that. Lord, I ask for the courage to take that next step, whether it be a call or a message or a sit-down conversation or a letter. An email. Whatever's going to be the best thing, Lord, help us and give us the courage to do that. And Lord, finally, I want to pray for just a double helping of wisdom and discernment. Lord, it makes me laugh as I read the stories about you because you just seem to know everything. But Lord, you can help us to know. Your word has promised us wisdom and your word has promised us spiritual, supernatural discernment. So, Lord, I pray for that now in Jesus' name, that you'll give it to each person here this morning. Lord, most of all, Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to make his presence known in our lives. Lord, because you will guide us to all truth. You will guide us to love. You will give us what we need. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't yet surrendered their life to you, Jesus, we know that all they need to do, because you've done the work, they just need to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you in my life. Please forgive me for the things I've done and help me to discover who you are. I pray for every person here today that that will be our story. Thank you, Lord, for the hope and the joy you give us. Thank you, Lord, there is nothing to fear. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat, everyone. Have a great week. God bless. We'll see you back here next week.